Hey guys, welcome to another beautiful episode of the Billionaire Habit Podcast. And today is probably the biggest, the best, and it should be a Guinness Day. The first time in 12 years and in over 15 years, I am interviewing my wife. Right? First time, interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest is Mrs. BC Akintayo.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, 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 welcome.
Namaste.
Welcome. Namaste. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I'm doing
so
great.
You lost your dad a couple of weeks ago. I hope you won't cry on this podcast.
I was not expecting you to even mention this.
So, who is your dad to you?
No one has ever asked me that question, actually. But I won't say so much, so I don't begin to cry as well. But to me, actually, my dad, while growing up, in short, there's one question I had while growing up that you have to fill some verification form. And I put my dad there and he said, okay, who is it to you too? That was just an online question. And I was like, my hero. And that one is actually... I believe that every daughter sees their dad first and foremost as their hero. So for me, growing up, and my dad wasn't a perfect man. Everybody has their flaws, but my dad was an amazing father. He ensured, like a lot of amazing fathers out there, that we had a good education. And he would say to us that the only inheritance I have for you is the education I'm giving to you. And he would tell us, prayer, see if nothing will help you to succeed in life other than prayer. And read, because it doesn't compromise reading. Read as if nothing will help you to succeed other than reading. I remember growing up was tough, having a very strict father. And each time he comes back, every one of us would just run to the dining table and carry our books and pretend as if that's what we've been doing all day. And I remember, it's so funny now remembering, because I have a spot on the dining. Nobody competes that spot with me, because when they do, their secret gets leaked out in terms of when you're reading on the dining, I would back my dad, and my dad would think I'm reading. Actually, I'm sleeping. I'm not reading. Like, we're talking now. So he's watching his TV and I'm, just everybody's on the dining reading. Guess the point, I'm tired of reading and I start sleeping off. But my head will neither shake nor my body will shake. I'll just be in one position and I've slept off. And how beautiful it was is whenever my dad is coming, I will know. I don't know how it happens. And I will wake up. So any page I'm on, I know the answers. I always open a page ever when he asks me questions. And he say, you need to look like BC for those of them who actually... did not get the answers to the questions right. So yes, you need to look like BC. BC actually knows and studies a book better than you guys. So for me, it was very strict. His keen on education. Got us several teachers while we're growing up. I ensured we went to the best of schools, except when I chose my school that I wanted to attend. I was the only one that attended the public school in my house because my friends were going to the school. My dad wanted a private school, but I insisted that was the school I wanted to attend, and he allowed me. And like you said, I was his favorite, but I always try as much as possible for him not to say I'm his favorite, because it always causes issues between myself and my siblings. So I'm always trying. But he was an amazing father. He was a giver. He was a lover of God. He was a man who people loved. He added value to the lives of people around him. He was a value-added individual. There was no one he came in contact with that left the same way they came.
Well, why did you marry me when he said he wanted you to marry me? Why defy him? He was so special to you. You loved this man that you broke his heart.
Why are you asking these questions now? You should have prepped me. I told Joshua to give me the questions.
No, there's no question. There's no guess I've had a good question. Jimmy, this is why we've not done interview in 12 years.
Oh my God. Okay, why did I choose this dark chocolate skin man over my handsome dark chocolate and some man. Remember, you're my dad now, so don't let me say the word that will be used against me in the court of law. So, okay, what happened? I think you get to a stage in life, no matter how much you love your dad, I don't understand how the love for when you fall in love with somebody else that is not your father, which is someone you fall in love outside your parents or siblings, I think it just becomes quite stronger than the love you have for your parents at some point.
Really?
I believe so. Then also, you know, while I was growing up, I did not understand so many things about my father. A lot of us just felt this man was just strict. You know, when people talked about my father, about the good things he was doing,
yeah,
I wasn't seeing so much of the good things he was doing. I was seeing so much of a very strict and hard man, a man that it was so difficult to really have a conversation with. You know, sometimes he crack jokes with us and we are like carrying this stern face, you know. It's not even funny. And my dad would be laughing. Just expect, because it was just extremely strict. When I see someone is strict, it was very strict. It was until I got married and I had kids. That was when I understand how it is to be a parent. I appreciated more of what my father was doing. So while I was growing up, to be honest, and as much as I loved my father, but there's this period that because of the strictness, you know, you still find a way that, you know, sometimes you just want to stay away from him at times.
So are you saying you wanted to be rebellious intentionally?
I did not want to be rebellious intentionally, but you stole my heart intentionally as well. So you came along the way and you took me away from the love of my father. So I wasn't a rebellious child because I've always been that child who doesn't want to get my dad upset.
You know, your dad put all that blame on me. He felt that it was me that definitely must have. I know that's the issue with when somebody has a stern, a choleric tendency, and then the other has a phlegm tendency. They would think the choleric guy is the bad guy. See, your dad died. I believe he still believed I was the one that probably forced you.
No.
You know, without knowing that it was his darling, beautiful daughter that just like was mentally rebellious. That it is you I married. Forget my father.
But like I said, actually, honestly, I feel that it gets to a point, no matter how much you love your daughter.
Because I was willing for us God to has obey him. I mean, if he says no,
No, I wasn't willing to. Yeah. But I'm glad that
I'm glad too.
And he was happy in his later years. Yes. And when he saw that, oh yes, she actually did not obey me, but it turned out for our good and
so
became a proud father.
Yeah, he said so. And during our 10th year anniversary, I watched him when he said, well, where I did wrong, God mark it right for me. Yeah, and I'm happy that you took good care of him. Myself and you, we took good care of him before he passed on.
Especially you, actually. Children. Especially you, because to be honest, and I think I was sharing it, I didn't even think of my dad's 60th birthday when you thought of it and you said, you know, let's go with get somebody who a good baker will bake a nice cake and very lovely cake, and we should go with a cow because my dad doesn't celebrate birthdays. I think I picked that from him. Mm. So because he never allowed us to celebrate our birthdays. I never saw any reason why I should celebrate birthdays. Mm. So for me, I didn't even think about it because I know my dad is not a birthday fan. Mm. So when you did that, it made him to do something small. And that was how we could get a picture of my father. So, otherwise, we wouldn't have had any picture of him.
During the burial.
It was, yes, during the burial, because it was the birthday that made him to decide to make the decision to celebrate his 60th birthday, because he was so happy, he was excited. Mm. And imagine if you did not intentionally do that. It means it would have been so difficult to have a picture to use for his funeral. Mm. So for me, I'm really, really excited because for you, there are very few men who would do what you did actually for him. And I remember him saying to me several times, oh, he wants to speak with you. You're always traveling. And why he came to our house in January then, it was majorly because he was saying to me that he has not been able to speak with you for a while. Mm. And you're always sending him money. And it's so not nice for someone to be sending him things. And he will not be able to say thank you. And one thing about my dad is that when you give him a pin, he yeah, appreciates you as if you have given him the whole world. Even if he cannot, even he has, he has a heart of gratitude. So he came all the way. And I was saying to him, Daddy, this, the distance is far.
Mm.
I don't want you
if
to
I
come.
If I was the first person on my birthday.
Yes. And I was glad you, when I shared it with you, you said, why not? I should allow him to come because I was looking at distance. And I was glad it happened because if it had not happened, if it didn't come, I would have regretted it as well for the rest of my life because I never knew we had limited time. I felt we had a whole lot. Like we had so much time together to spend. And I've even imagined him at our son's graduation in secondary school from in the university, his first grandson. You know, I never knew we had short time. So I want to say even thank you to you because you were really, really amazing. Even days we had not come back together, you asked me to call him. You know how to, you might not be the person calling the whole family members, but you know how to push me to ensure that I'm staying in touch with my family, even when I'm like, no, I want to just be on my own. And you were like that glue that was holding both myself and my family. And that was amazing from you. I think we spent so much time talking about.
So one more on your dad, the burial. I'm telling you this for the first time. I mean, your cry made me cry during the burial. Pascal, when he was, you know, and what was scary for me was, I was like, what will happen the day I die?
Don't talk about this one. Biko, let's remove this topic.
And then, if BC will be like this for her dad and be so much pain for her dad, you know, I was like, when I die, what will happen?
We shouldn't go to that topic. I think that's all I'll say. Let's stop that topic there. Okay, let's just end. It should be end of discussion because we are not talking. That's going to be in about maybe.
Yeah, I want to live long. 70, 80
years time.
You know, I'm not even joking about long. I want to live
long. But I don't want to talk about it.
And I believe you live long as well.
Absolutely.
I believe.
But I don't want to do 120. 100 is enough.
100.
Because I want to look beautiful. And when I'm old. When I'm 120, I won't be fine. So to let me leave it at 100. You can do 120, no problem. 100 is okay by me.
So you met me on campus. I was your mentor. I was your pastor before married. And then you saw me do business from campus days. I mean, I used to sell popcorn. I used to do a lot. Did you ever believe I was going to be this successful?
I knew you'd be successful, but of course, I didn't see the picture of this successful. Actually, let me be honest. So why did I say I saw the picture of success was because we were already doing, you were already doing some exploits, though it wasn't leading into physical cash. And based on the fact that I have a father also who was in the line of business.
Yes.
So I believe also helped my belief system.
Okay.
Because today business is hope. Tomorrow, there's some crisis in business as well. Then I've also gone through some fair share of, in terms of not being able to, like I tell people, I was born with a silver spoon, but I didn't grow up with a silver spoon.
Wow.
Yes, because my dad was in customs and he resigned early in life. And even 3 years after I resigned, they were still paying him with the hope he would come back, but he never came back to customs. And for me, then he was actually even managing, he was in charge of the semi-border. So my dad was there. As a point, my dad had cars I couldn't count. The cars that picks me up in school in the morning is not the one that will pick me in the afternoon.
Wow.
Shots is, Comptroller Koladi was saying it, that at the point he had over 20, I think, was it the one, or I think one other person he raised, Uncle Moses, was at the point my dad had over 20 cars.
Wow.
At the point, because he loved cars.
Mm.
So for me, as at that time, we were doing fine. He left custom side businesses. A lot of issues back and forth happened. So I think also helped my belief system in you, because I had seen him failed a couple of times. and it kept back up as well. So for me, seeing your own fair share of failure as well was not something new to me. Because I had already gotten a bit used to it. And the fact that it's not just about failing, your failures, it's about the fact that you were always able to rise up again. And you've never seen your failures as failures. You always embrace your failures as a new way to learn new things. So you learn new things and you learn new things. That's the way you've seen failures. I think that also helped me, because I remember days whereby we've incurred losses in terms of our popcorn business. And I'm doing analysis of, God, we've incurred losses and you're telling us that we should go out on a date. I said, Bao, how will I go out on a date with you when I'm still looking at the fact that we still have one or two persons we need to pay? So I couldn't understand that mental picture of you trying to say that, okay, just let's go out to take ourselves out of the mental picture of the debt we have so that we'll be able to strategize on how to pay for this debt more easily. I don't know how we paid for them. I know we later paid for them. But I do not understand how you were wired. But for me, I believed strongly. Actually, I did not. And the fact that you never allow it to tell on you, me, the whole world will know. I encountered losses. In short, the person beside me would also get my transferred aggression on him or her. So for me, helped me actually in a big way. And the fact I saw your vision board as well. Your vision board, you didn't have money in your pocket. You had the vision board that shows that you'll be speaking with white guys. You'll be traveling all over the world. I think it was about 2 or 3 years later in marriage, I saw that vision board. I wish I was good with the phone, then I would have taken a picture of it. I don't know how we lost that vision board. I saw it and I discovered that your 1 million era you wrote, you have passed 1 million. Then you did have, you only had 10K in your account. I discovered that apart from the 1 million as well, there were a couple of other things. You said speaking engagements. You were a local champion of speaking in Agoiwe, and you became like a local, you were, okay, a semi-local champion. Now you now became a big local champion. As at that time, you had not traveled. Before you now became a global speaker. Before you now became a global speaker. So, and you there was pictures of different countries you were traveling to. So for me, it's made me believe. And also, one other thing that made me believe as well was, I had a Muslim friend that was like my childhood friend. Her name is Miriam. Coincidentally, my Muslim name is Miriam as well. So I used to visit her home. And I saw the way her mom believed so much in her father. Even when there was nothing. And they shared the story with me when there was nothing. And she would tell us so much about, BC, when you want to get married, don't look at whether the guy has money or not, though. You can start small and grow big. So she would say all those beautiful things. Elijah would talk so much about those things. So I picked a couple of lessons about marriage from her. She doesn't know. Why I picked a lot from her. So she would give us all those advice as our daughter, both of us, as our daughters, tell us about starting small, growing big. So those things also, because I had surrounded my life with her and some other people as well, but especially her, it was helpful to help me believe that they were just trying times, but would overcome those things. And I'm glad I actually believed. And I did not look at what was happening then. I remember a friend of mine, not really close to me then, she was even your school daughter, saying to me that I can't get married if my husband doesn't have a car. Because she came to our house and we were going to church with our Legedis Benz and Okada with my son, because I was having a baby. I had a baby already when she came. So we're going to church. I did not see all those things actually. But I remember saying that, what if the guy already had a car? And had all this money and got married and he lost everything. Does that mean the woman is going to file for a divorce or what? Exactly. And you have kids. Because things happen in marriage. Nobody predicts what can happen tomorrow. But we always pray for all the good things in marriage anyway. So for me, actually, I didn't see marriage as you must have a car, you must have a house, you must have the best of clothes. I did not see marriage as that. I saw it as a place of honor, a place of communication, a place of friendship, a place of everlasting institution. And the fact that I think I believe at that time as well, hope I'm not talking too much.
No. Please feel free.
I believe as that time.
By the way, I hope you know I enjoy you, listening to you speak.
Aww.
I really do.
Thank you. Now I'm blushing.
Thank you. Particularly because you helped me to. A lot of what has happened in time past, I'm not able to capture them the way you capture them. And mm-hmm. it helps me to reminisce, look back, look at what I did right and how one can be, because only a fool loses his winning ticket. Absolutely. How one can be conscious of this way, how we started. This is what we went through. This mm-hmm. is what kept us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I enjoy listening to you. So please
Thank you. Thank you. So for me, let me just wrap it up there. I believed in you because you started getting baby results, not that you were saying it. A lot of people do what they say it, they don't do anything about it.
Mm.
So I have a vision. My vision is to be the richest man in the world. Yet what I do every day is I sleep 8 hours, 10 hours.
Mm.
In the morning, I'm still sleeping around 10 a.m. Mm. 12 noon, I'm still sleeping. And I want to be the richest man in the world.
Mm.
Yes, that person will be the richest man in the world. But in sleep, that's the way the person will be. But for you, 6 a.m., business meeting, as students, not that we already have gotten married. And so it's a different thing if you were not a student, but you were a student as well. You gather other students for 6 a.m. meeting. I can't forget Sixth Sense. Can you remember? Oti Betel.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how I still remember those things.
Mm.
These are things of over 15 years ago and I still remember.
Mm.
Because you will take us to Oti Betel meeting. I, Gabriel Showaniku. Did I get his name? Or, no, is it Showaniku? Gabriel, the
Showale.
One that... Showale, thank you. Showale, Gabriel. I can't remember the other people right now, but I remember Gabriel very well. And some other group of people. You take us to Oti Betel program. Events, and we'll have sometimes breakfast meeting with you as well. There'll be programs on campus, speakers who are coming. You ensure that we all are there. So you were just intentionally looking at giving back to people. You just want to, people to grow. It's not as if you want anything. Just love to see that people are growing in terms of their intellect, in terms of their spirituality as well, because the church part as well was there. And you were not compromising discipline in terms of, oh, she's my fiancée as at that time. This is my wife-to-be. So, you know, if you get late, the rule doesn't apply to you. So because I don't also want to get embarrassed, I ensure that I don't come late for meetings, so I don't
Which
have to kneel down.
Your most embarrassed moment, you know, me being your leader on campus and yet we're dating, what was the most embarrassing moment for you?
I won't say so much about my embarrassing moment because I also knew how to play my card well in terms of, number one, I think the only time I knelt down was once. And I didn't feel embarrassed.
We used to have a rule. If you come late for our meetings,
yes,
you will kneel down.
Yes.
So I think you were late once.
I was late once and I never came late again during my tenure because I did not want to kneel down. That would have been more embarrassing. Yeah. So I knelt down and because I wasn't the only one kneeling down.
Okay, so that helped you.
That helped me. Then also, adults.
But did you feel I should have allowed you not kneel down?
I never felt that way, actually, funny enough. I never felt that way. So that's why I can't really say it was embarrassing for me because I never felt that way. I knew that, I think early in life, I'd known that there's a difference between business and
romantic
relationship.
Leadership,
yes, leadership, yes. Leadership and romantic moments are quite different. So I can get back to my house and we iron it out and I'd not give you food that day. Uh-huh. Now we are back to so you are getting your payback for what you have done. But at that moment, I'm not embarrassed.
You never did.
I wish I did right now. Remember
when I fired?
I wish
you.
I did actually.
When I fired,
if I had not given you food, when you allowed, you told me to kneel down, you'd have known that what you did touched me. But because now I wish I really did that actually. So you know that next time. So after you have done it, you now say, babe, now
do
sorry,
preferential
sorry.
Treatment.
No, don't do preferential treatment. Yeah, you didn't tell me sorry. Now you're supposed to tell me sorry.
When
we get home,
did I tell her that sorry?
You didn't tell her that sorry, but because I'm your babe, you were supposed to say, babe, ma shebe mo, bele shebo. But next time, to
how about when I fired you?
When
how
you
did
fired
you feel?
Me.
This was many after we were married.
Okay,
right?
Sorry, I sometimes speak Yoruba. because I'm a Yoruba girl. So pardon me for those who don't understand what I just said.
Yeah, so when at you some fired point, me, I fired you in the company.
When you fired me, I didn't feel bad too.
Okay.
I felt happy. You're a workaholic now. Who won't be happy when you fire them? You fired me. I'll praise God now. You don't know how much of a workaholic you are. So rather than feel bad, I'll feel happy, to be honest.
I'm delivered.
But it's bo- God has saved me from this, my boss. So for me, actually, I was happy because you're a workaholic. I think I worked more then, even than now.
Yeah.
Because then when I was more, because I had a baby and I lived my office by 8 p.m., 9 p.m. And I had a baby that was still, I was breastfeeding.
Mm.
That was my last baby. So you now fired me. You now think I'll rejoice now. I was happy. I'll enjoy my life more. And sit down and be doing mommy while in the house. I'm watching Netflix. But for me, I didn't feel any bad when you fired me, like I said.
My first son took after you. Enjoyment minister.
No, he took after you, actually.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't do it. I don't go
it's
out.
It's just that your own enjoyment is coded, but you love to enjoy life. Take your time, relax.
I think I love enjoyment in my comfort zone.
Yeah,
I chose.
He too is like that.
He loves to go out. I don't like going out.
Yeah, boy,
I'm not the outgoing person.
He loves to take life easy.
Loves to take life easy. Yeah. Doesn't love to take.
Yeah, no hard
so
life.
Yes, me, I don't like hard life. Baby girl life, you know, soft life. So now that my father has died, I need to do more soft life.
Continue. Continue.
So that way you can match up
continue.
To his love.
Continue.
I can transfer and give you all the love which I used to have for him before.
Yeah.
Won't you like that?
There's no competition. There's never been competition. There's never been. But what? Looking back, do you think being hard, I know I was hard on myself and I'm still hard on myself, as well as people around me. Do you think he helped us to, I mean, we're celebrating 16 years as a company. Do you think he helped the company to grow the way we grew?
Let me talk about that being hard first before I talk about if it helped the company to grow.
Mm.
You were extremely hard. You were tough. Short, I think tougher than my father.
Really?
Yes, because at some point I remember you kept saying that I'm not your dad because I'll start comparing both of you.
Yeah,
you were that this is the same thing my father does. The same man I was saying that, oh, you know, I'm married now. But at the point, honestly, you were. I tell staff now, our staff, that you don't know the Stephen Akintayo version you have now is the best Stephen Akintayo. The Stephen Akintayo that we talk to you and you start crying in meetings. I mean, I know staff that used to cry after meeting. You will talk to them, lambast them like this, and you know they'll start shedding tears. Sure. Both and like it was as if
off the mic, cut the tape.
No, I need to talk about this because that version of you, the version of you now, is a refined version. Even for me as an individual, you know, you will talk before you know it. I'm shedding tears. I'm crying. But you won't let me cry. You talk now. Odieshi, who will send me to cry that you are talking? Okay, I'll talk about how I stopped crying as well. You know, it's a long story. I'll talk about everything. So for me, as at that time, you were extremely tough. You were not sensitive to people's emotions.
Mm.
You were not sensitive to people's emotions as at that time. So you just say it. And it's not a thing about you. It's a thing about the whole Akintayos. They just talk. You say it. You don't know how to miss words. You don't know how to hide words. You say it the way it is.
So I'm not sugarcoat it. In my family.
No, you are not diplomatic in
I
your family.
I can tell you, see your in-law.
Don't worry, they love me. Rubbishing, so they know the truth.
Rubbishing all of
no,
you
now,
in public.
No, I'll not take this
to
one.
The world.
I did not do that. You are the one.
Someone
you are the one doing this.
Thank
now.
God I'm not the first
I did not break it down like this. You know they love
Olori
me.
Olori Ebi is watching.
You know they love me.
When is someone?
Brolu, you know that. I did not mean it for you. It's him. And let me and then Gabriel. Brolu is exempted. Okay. Brolu is exempted. Just you and Gabriel. That's all.
Okay.
So for me, as at that time, you were not sensitive, very sensitive to people's emotions. You don't understand why people can't get things done when you have done it and you are moving to the next one and they are trying to give you gibberish story about how it is impossible to get done and you still get there, you fix everything and it's not as if you are the only one trying to be the fixer and nobody else is trying to play the bad cop when things are not going smoothly and you are the only one trying to fix it as at that time. So for me, then you were quite insensitive to emotions, but you really had worked on yourself because now you are so sensitive to people's emotions.
Marriage does.
You are very sensitive.
Marriage.
And for me,
marriage will humble you.
For me, as at that time, I remember every time. And you, when you finish talking and I'm crying, I'll be wondering that, which man did I marry, Seth? You will be telling me that. What have you said? What have you said that I'm crying? That one will not pay me again. What do you mean that? What have you said that is making me to cry? You've said a lot now. And I am crying. Instead of you to say like a romantic husband and say, oh, babe, now, sorry now. Okay, I didn't mean it for this. Because me, I was expecting you to be that romantic in quotes. But fortunately,
I did not.
Mental expectation. Now, a baby is crying. You better. I was going to say, what have I said? In short, the crying now is even vexing me. Because imagine you saying this, all those. Only God knows how come I did not run back to my father. I don't know.
You couldn't run back to him after you had married me without his blessing.
It is where. So you say, what have you said? And you even, babe, I'm serious. Stop crying now. Stop crying. That was you then. So personally, I also knew another thing I needed to do. I needed to grow myself because I knew that I needed to grow myself. So what I did was I started growing myself.
Yes,
I started developing myself because I was expecting you to change. You were not changing.
Yeah.
You were someone that could fire somebody on the spot. You
Absolutely.
Came late. Oh yeah, pack your bag.
Fired
right now. You could fire from fire. I look at stuff. We are doing retreat. We are going to Ghana. You are staying in nice hotels. We'll sleep on the floor. Yet you come late for that retreat. If you don't fire, I will sleep on the floor. I remember you used my house at some point. We were sleeping. They'll lay beds or something on the floor to sleep to have retreats.
Yeah.
And you can imagine how much we've grown now that we are doing retreats and we are traveling out of the country to have retreats and do it in more like a 5-star hotel now. Oh, glory be to God anyway, but let's go back to where I was coming from. So I had to grow myself.
Yeah.
Then another thing I did is I had to study temperament. I'd study temperament before I got married.
Okay.
By the way, we never had any counseling, I hope you know. No marriage counseling.
Mm.
Nobody counseled us. Mm. All these 3 months marriage counseling, we didn't do all of that. Mm. And God helped us to actually have a successful marriage.
For over 3 years.
Well, yes, so, but you know, a lot of people go through all this counseling, all this adult, all those... And we never had all of that. Don't let me digress again. So I don't want to forget this topic. So I remember learning about, the question. I remember learning about temperament. As related to marriage.
Mm.
And I remember I stumbled on a video on YouTube because I watched a lot of YouTube videos then. And the video of this Ghanaian pastor, Adelaide Mills. So it really helped me a whole lot. We've never met, but video actually really helped me.
If you're watching this, thank you for helping my wife.
So I watched her video and she was talking about her husband.
Mm.
The temperament was exactly like you.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How she will cry and cry. And you know, when she wanted to travel to I think US or UK, when her dad wanted her to go and study there, and she took her husband out with her own money. For, I think, a lunch for her to talk about it. And the pastor was saying, because he's also a pastor of our church. And the pastor told her husband told her that, no problem. If you go, it means this relationship is over. It means we have to break up. The money she paid for the meal. And she was shedding tears. So she said several things, how her husband was just exactly like you. Mm-hmm. The same temperament. So she was talking about our temperaments. Gets to play in terms of marriage and spoke about the different temperaments. And I remembered also my own case where I bought food for my husband that both of us will eat. My husband has had a very, very tedious day in school. So I bought the food, took it to your own hall, to your room.
We're dating.
Yes. Mm. Took it to your room. And I just got back from home as well. And I had some money. I said, okay, the best restaurant. I bought food from there. Amala and jollof rice. I'll never forget.
And Amala and jollof
rice. Yes, you have forgotten. I can never, ever forget. Bought Amala and jollof rice and kept it in your room. I think Anna stepped out. So you came back before me. So I was supposed to eat that meal and go back to my own lodge. My own hall.
Yeah.
And so supposed to be our dinner. And when I got back, you had started eating.
Yeah.
So I go hungry. Yeah. Start eating the amala. Yeah. I got hungry that. Why didn't you wait for me? Because I love that we eat together.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, sorry.
Mm.
I would have waited.
Mm.
And I said, because of this, I'm not going to eat this food again. And I got hungry.
Yeah.
And you did not tell me sorry after that.
But
and you
what?
Ate the amala. You ate the jollof rice. Ah! You ate amala. You finished everything.
But I said sorry.
One sorry.
First.
Are you supposed to come back and pet me? And make me feel like, ah, babe, sit. Thank God we have been. This is our first time having this kind of conversation. I'm not sure you have heard this before. You're supposed to come back and pet me over and over again. Babe, sorry hey, now.
Yeah.
That's the way you're supposed to do.
Hey, yeah.
Ah, thank God that you have changed anyway. But I expected that. So when I was watching a video, everything was just gelling and helped me to understand temperament as related to marriage. Because I feel my husband, you know, several times I'll come to you, do you even love me? And you'll tell me that. What do you mean?
That gets me angry.
What do you mean? Because I'll look at this man.
That
doesn't
gets me
you don't angry. Show because you don't show it. You are not a person that shows love.
Yes.
You don't show love. Because what I expected as love is, oh, you come all the time, tell me I love you.
Yeah.
Even when I tell you I love you, you don't tell me how beautiful I looked. And people will be telling me I look beautiful.
By the way,
you're
looking beautiful.
Thank you. Okay, just jokes apart. But for that time, you couldn't even say you're beautiful. I would tell you you look handsome because I expected that you will reciprocate when I tell you how good you look. I love you, but you won't say those things. It was heavy in your mouth. And it was always...
Why did you marry that guy? Because the guy you're describing now, even me, I can't marry him if I were a woman.
I don't know how he stole my heart, actually.
Eh?
I don't know how he stole my heart.
With all this with bad all this, attitude.
With all this bad... But I've forgiven him, Sha. And he has repented.
He has repented.
It was love. You know, sometimes love does not see some things. It doesn't see some errors.
God forbid.
And also... But you know that we didn't get married based on love as well.
Mm-hmm.
We did not marry. We did not start the relationship based on love.
Mm.
I think we grew into love as well. I was just... I told you how it all happened, how God told me, even when I did not want to say yes to your proposal.
So God told you I was your husband?
God did not come down to tell me, but had an inner peace, even when I did not love you.
When you prayed about
it. And I prayed about it. Okay. Because there was no love at first.
Because God didn't
there was
tell
no
me.
Love at all.
God didn't tell me you are my wife.
So I prayed about it when I saw the signals. When I saw the signals, actually, that you were going to ask me out.
Yeah.
So I knelt down and I prayed to God that man that is a workaholic, that man that is not romantic. Hey, I don't want a man like this that is a workaholic, that is not romantic. Mm. He won't give me flowers, all those things. I did not want that. We're too much of a workaholic. But
funny
let's
enough,
come back
I
to
felt
the question
you too,
now.
I felt you were too...
Fragile.
Fragile for me.
Mm.
Yeah, but same way, I mean, I prayed about it. I had inner peace. And I also looked at... Because unlike you, I knew where I was going. I was too sure I was going to be exceptionally successful and famous. And so... I needed a woman who could complement that. Could one, help the home front.
Mm-hmm.
Two, could have the patience and the temperament to hold things together, which you had all of it. So for me, it was also based on, I was too sure this person was, in fact, the word I used was, I will live long if I marry this person.
Mm.
Mm. And I don't have regret.
Thank you. I appreciate.
Yeah.
So let me just wrap up the question.
Please wrap up.
Thank you.
This is not the usual podcast.
Okay, it's your usual.
Not the usual. Okay. I'm a man that I'm comfortable being vulnerable. Mm. You know, if I laugh when people try to analyze my weakness or make fun, I'm like...
Mm.
I'm my biggest critic, and I'm mm-hmm. good with it. So mm-hmm. I'm comfortable Amazing. With my. I'm comfortable Your weaknesses. With. Mm-hmm. I'm conscious of my flaws.
Mm.
I improve, and I keep improving the best way I can. But I love to laugh at my weaknesses and myself. And I think those who don't know how to do that, shame on them. It's not me.
Mm.
Right? It's you that you are, you know, dancing Makosa mm-hmm. on somebody else's weaknesses
mm-hmm.
Without looking at your own internally that really has an issue.
Mm.
Yeah.
I agree. Nice. I've picked something.
You wanted to wrap up?
Yes, I wanted to wrap up. So for me, I would say to even anyone out there, rather than trying to change your partner, try to be the change you desire. So I stopped trying to change my husband. Then I had mood swings a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Right now, I can enter a mood and, you know, everybody should be moody like me. I don't want you to. I'm not happy. You shouldn't be happy. Why should you be happy? I'm sad. And you want to be happy for what?
How dare you?
How dare you be happy around me? So I had to really work on that as well because... Early in marriage.
And I think my toughness helped you to work on yourself because one of the things I realized when I got my first 2 weeks in marriage was terrible. It was one of my worst.
Mm.
And
are you serious?
Yes, it was.
Seriously?
It was.
You never told me.
I love to brush my teeth in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
My toothpaste, my toothbrush is in the toilet.
Talk about
Remember,
that.
I
don't talk about that. Don't solve the mic.
I've been living in that house alone. Before you came.
Uh-huh.
And then my wife will carry the toothpaste to the kitchen. Who brush their teeth in the kitchen?
Me, as at that time. Let me tell you the reason.
My
you are the one that did not want to off this mic.
Let
and
me
I will talk about
now.
It. Okay, yeah, let's
I had
finish.
The way I organized.
You have started
my,
it, I'll finish
I
it.
I had the way I organized my house. Right? Brought you in. As my wife, you scattered the whole
thing. The home became mine when I entered.
Do I argue with you today?
No, you don't. You don't.
You live in Banana Island. Me, I live in US. I used to be Dubai. Two different houses. My own house, my house. Your house, your house.
It's my house.
So when I come to Nigeria, I don't have a house. I'm squatting with my wife. Because you even see me in the living room. I'm in my corner. I don't want to pass my mind. But one of the things that I realized was at some point I made up my mind. I said, look, this woman and I mood swing.
Mm.
If when I go to heaven, I will give account how I live my own life.
Mm.
And I'm no longer responsible for how you feel or how you don't feel.
Mm.
I'm going to live my own life to the fullest.
Mm.
Right, I'm not going to wait for you to catch up with my own. I love to travel. You don't like traveling.
Mm-hmm,
I don't think of cost of money to do anything that is required. My wife think of cost. Even the cost can give her mood swing. You know, so I had to make up my mind. I have to live. It's one life, not two.
Mm-hmm.
And the death of my mom had taught me that you can work so hard and be a good person and just die at a time when you're supposed to reap the fruit of your labor. Mm-hmm. So I made up my mind, I want to enjoy my life, you know. And I think at that point, in my own opinion, you had to realize that, look, I am the one losing. My own, the way I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And you intentionally went out to begin
work
to
on myself.
Work on yourself as well. That's what I
noticed. I agree. But I'm going to start from that toothpaste. If I could continue. So the toothpaste, I don't do it anymore.
Of course.
But you know, one thing I love.
You're a big woman.
I'm a big woman. Yeah. So as at that time, one thing I love a bathroom that sparkles. I don't want to see, even to the wall, like a stain.
Yeah.
It gets at me. It's, I don't know.
But your children
it makes my body
to
begin to
cringe.
They've changed me, actually. Those children. our children. In short, so it makes me feel, so for me, I don't want to enter and I begin to, it can affect my mood for the whole day.
Yeah.
So that was why intentionally I was going to the kitchen to brush, because maybe you had used the bathroom, the wall. There was no big deal, just soap on the wall, just to take water to wash it out. But I don't like it. I want you to use the bathroom and clean and make sure everywhere sparkles, so that I come in and make it sparkle as well as at that time. But everything has changed anyway. But like you said, I intentionally had to grow myself, because I discovered that we're both beginning to, there was a time that we had, there was a friction. I don't know if you discovered it, but I discovered that there was like a bridge kind of in the marriage. And like I said, I wasn't going to tell my husband to work on himself anymore. I knew I also had to work on myself. So I knew we're becoming, there was distance in between us. And I knew that the more the distance comes in, guess what? Before you know it, it was just more like the only thing we're doing was just business. There was no much. Yes, we're coming home, but I wasn't feeling, there was no butterfly in my stomach when I see you. There's no butterfly in my stomach right now anyway. But what I mean is that I wasn't just feeling that connection between us.
Okay.
So I told myself, I had to review myself. I had to write my weaknesses, my strengths. And I looked at the fact that I had a lot of mood swings. And I knew that before early marriage, for hours, you'd be asking me, babe, what is wrong? Mm. 1 hour, I've not still told you what is wrong with me. 2 hours, 3 hours, then you stopped asking me.
Yes.
And I'm still feeling something is wrong, and I feel you should know.
Mm.
And you should be able to detect that thing you did or said yesterday was what affected my mood, and you refuse to know. And how do you expect me to tell you if you don't know? At least you see that my face changed immediately you said that thing or you did that thing. So I had to tell myself that talk more, communicate, even if you will scatter ground. Even if both of you will shout and break this roof, then I have to find a way to know how to communicate as well. Then sometimes when you say some words, the thing is touching me, the thing is getting me angry. You'll be asking me, why are you laughing? I'm serious, I'm talking. Why are you smiling? That you never knew that was my own therapy to overcome not crying. My own therapy not to overcome mood swing.
Mm.
I did not learn that anywhere, but I just picked that thing up that I'll start doing it. When you're talking, then I block my ears as well. There are some things you will say, I'll just block my ears. I'm not hearing. I'm looking at you. I'm not listening. So I was a passive listener, because I don't want those words to get into me. And I'll be smiling and be laughing. And you'll be getting upset that, why are you laughing? And guess what? My own mood is fine. My mood is not affected, because I know you also overcome that. Why are you angry? When we have said it, you have said it, it's over. So intentionally as well, when you come, I started doing things intentionally, like jumping on you, doing so many fun things that you say, babe, you are jobless. I need to work. I said, thank you, I'm jobless. I don't have job. You say, if you have job, your subsidiary, how much have you made? How much have you made that you are jumping on me? I said, thank you, I'm jobless in my subsidiary. So I'll intentionally try to do those things. And before I knew it, it became a natural. I wasn't listening to you. At first, when I started, you tell me, you are jobless. It means that I have job. I know how much result I've brought. If you have enough job in your hands, if your hand is full enough, you would be getting the same result I'm getting. That thing will touch me then. I will stop. I'll want to enter my mood again. But later, I don't even care if you say it. I will still jump on you 24/7. I will still try to tickle you. I'll still try to do things around you. Even if you are not smiling, you don't even smile if you are tickled anyway. So I'll just try to do those things intentionally. And I discovered that all of a sudden I took temperament test and it is telling me I'm a sanguine. I said, I'm not a sanguine. I'm not even close to sanguine. But because I've decided to make myself happy, I refuse to allow the things around me to define me anymore. Allow your mood to define my mood. Allow people in my environment to define, because also people in my environment defined my mood. So I stop allowing my happiness. And you used to say something to me, babe, I've chose to live my life. It is left to you to either live your life or not. But I discovered when I started living my life as well, I was not enduring.
Yeah.
The relationship, we're not enduring ourselves.
Yeah.
We started enjoying the marriage.
Yeah.
I remember we'll go for vacation as well.
Yeah.
Instead of me to be happy in vacation, I'm sad because you have said some words. You can say some words that can touch somebody's marrow. you will say some words and, you know, so me to be happy.
Why
during
was
vacation.
Your maru so penetrable?
I don't know how you used to penetrate. You cannot penetrate into my maru. But your toughness, in all fairness,
yeah,
you're being tough. That's why I tell people that if you know where I'm coming from, you will not compare your wives with me.
That's true.
Because my husband did a whole lot. He will pay for trainings. He will pay for events. How many husbands really pay for their wives to go for trainings? You pay for vacation, for me to go on vacation. I will fight you that those vacations are a waste of money. You will insist. You will even tell me you will stay with the kids. You will not, they won't be shouting in the house. And the kids even, it was so difficult for me to detach myself from my kids because I'd surrounded my happiness around you, around the children as well. So you were so intentional and you will stand your ground. Babe, you are going, there's nothing you could do about it. And I'll find myself, I have to be in that vacation, I have to be in those trainings. And those things also, seeing women doing great things, seeing myself as well, being able to train and coach people, mentor people, it also gave me more confidence, being able to earn my money, to buy my own things without having to depend. Please, don't forget. You see, forget this part. That's why I did not finish it. So that my words can not be used against me in the court of law. So I don't want to finish this part.
Abi,
but for me, your toughness really helped me.
You make your money so you can buy
your own things. I did not say that.
So you can buy your own.
I did not say that. I'm a baby girl.
Independent woman.
I did not say that.
So there's no need for my own money.
My lawyer is, I'm going to call my lawyer. My lawyer will defend me. I never said that. So your toughness really helped me to grow up, actually.
Yeah.
I've really grown over the years and I'm happy for the growth that I've accomplished, because if you were not tough, if you were still trying to treat me like the baby girl, I believe I won't have grown as much as I grew. And I'm grateful for that growth, even in the company. And that's why I tell people, whatever he's doing to you, don't think he's being partial with me because I'm his wife. I know how many queries I've received in the company. I know how many times they meet you say, give me Sister Akinta your query. Give her query now. Give her query with deduction. So for me, I don't see it as being a bad leader. I see it as being a fair leader, because if you don't do that, there won't be a difference between business and relationship. Mm. Staff are watching and they'll say, after he's been lenient with his wife. So why is he not cutting us some slack? Is it because she's his wife and all of that? So I also believe it has also helped staff as well to be able to...
If you were to marry me again, will you want this entrepreneurial, crazy guy, you know, brutal? And knowing all that we've been through, because your session, I probably have to bring you again.
Thank you, sir.
Probably do 4 or 5 sessions because we've not even touched... you know, 10% of the various aspects. So will you do this again? Will you go this journey with me again?
It's only a blind man that will say no. Yes and yes, I will go on this journey because I've seen the worst parts and I've seen the sweeter parts. So, of course, 100%. I'll go.
Are you sure?
Yes, 100%. No, I'm not mixing words. I'm not saying because we're on a podcast. 100% because, you know, you hear a lot. In as much as I don't try to compare people, I don't compare people with my husband. Yes, my husband might not be the only person. You are not the man that will come to the kitchen and help me wash my dishes, even early in marriage. And even when you try it and I complain once, that's the end. You will never do it again. That is you. You try to wash it. I say, why didn't you put the plate in this plate? Why did you keep it here? Why did you change? You only changed our baby's diaper once, remember?
Because you complained.
Because I complained. Now, why did you change diapers and you left it on the table? There's a trash can, for goodness sake. So because of that, you stop changing. You never change this diaper ever again. That's divine. So for me, the only thing is I'll just change a little part. I'll change a little part of being the emotional part for early in life. But see, of course, yes and yes.
Let me add this for women who are watching. Please, don't try and change your husband.
No.
And for men watching, don't try and change your wife. Right? People only change if they want to change. And I think the whole process of I want to change him or I want to change her is really, really what messes up the home.
Messes up the marriage.
Yeah, it's really what messes it up, right? Focus on changing you. You have
control there. You have mm-hmm. power there.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to change the other party, it won't work.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It never worked for me, actually.
Yeah, it won't
never
work.
Worked for
and
me.
It didn't work for me either. Because I think even you, I saw you improve better when I just left you to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So by yourself, you then saw reasons to want to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was more after I want to change this, I want to change that. Mm-hmm. I think this, it just was not. No, but one more thing is, where did you get your maturity from? Because we've been through a lot and we've never had third party come into our marriage.
Mm.
Though I knew one of our constitution was whatever issue, we must resolve it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our marriage is not like another. So, we have to create our own template.
Mm-hmm.
I will never intentionally use your weakness against you and vice versa. Those were key things we agreed on doing. But I felt you were extremely mature, even till now, way more than your age. Where do you think that came from?
For me, it's the intentionality of the people I surrounded my life with. Even there was this woman, I can't remember her name, while we were on campus. You know, I told you that I never wanted to get married. I hated marriage because my father's marriages didn't work. The first marriage, the second marriage, the marriages around my life that I grew up knowing, I hated all the marriages, so I did not want to get married. So you also surrounded me, made me to surround myself in school then, take me to some homes, pastor, she just to his home, so that you can be married and be happy. Because I felt marriage was slavery, marriage was bondage. That was what I felt while growing up. But surrounding myself with older people who were successful in their marriages, people who actually, people who had successful homes, let me put it that way. I used Miriam's mom, for instance, Alaja. She also was a pivot to that. I have all of the people around, even till date, I don't have young friends. The people I call my friends are not my age mates.
Mm.
They are all older than me. And I see how marriages, how they enjoy their lives. So I don't pick what you do in your home. I just say that this is what is working. So I don't say I want to use your template fully. But I see how they honor their spouse.
Mm.
Let me take, for instance, when we were on campus. I was one of the people that said, I will never call my husband or somebody I'm dating, brother. Hey, brother. Why will I call you brother, Stevie? I'm dating you. You are my boyfriend or you are my fiance. But fortunately for me, I was already calling you brother before we started dating. Because we didn't have the intention of dating anyway. There was no plan. So I was calling him bro, Stephen, because you were ahead of me in school and in the ministry. Then later we started calling you pastor. So when we started dating, it was not a big question of, are you going to call him Stephen? Or are you going to call him bro, Stephen, or pastor Stephen? So it was a big issue. But I had to ask myself, if you call him Stephen, your friends will call him Stephen. People in church will start calling him Stephen. Why? Because the way I carry my man is the way other people around me will carry him. So I had to tell myself, I had to call him Pastor Stephen or Bro Stephen. So my friends will even call you Stephen. And I will say, no, he is not Stephen. He is Pastor Stephen or he is Bro Stephen. I remember correcting them several times. And I knew that if I wanted them to accord that same respect with you, because they knew I've said a lot, I can't ever. So I needed to start respecting their own spouse as well. So I started calling their spouse Mr. So they had no choice because I was giving the same respect I wanted to command, attract. So for me, I learned how to carry my man because I surrounded myself or my life with those people who are older than me. And I learned from the successful marriages. Because I remember one question my dad asked me that I should name how many marriages that I know that were successful. Because he also didn't have a right in marriage. But later years, thank God that he reconciled with my mom and he had an amazing time with her, even though they were not really staying together, but he had an amazing time with her. But for me, my maturity came from the people I surrounded my life with. And a lot of marriages are crashing today. Why? Because people are checking social media, partnering their marriages after the marriages of influencers, artists, and some other people they see as their role model. So if they look at marriages of older generation, older generation that I've seen, that me I picked from, we never disrespect our husband outside, no matter what. They will always ensure they honor their spouse. I saw Miriam's mom several times, and she never for once, in short, Miriam's mom was an amazing woman. She was even the one bringing the major money in the home. And she almost kneel down to serve her husband. She will call her daddy, her husband daddy. I did not call you daddy anyway. But it doesn't mean I did not respect you. But all those things actually helped my maturity level. I never heard from once they ever reported their spouse to any member of their family. So they will share a lot with me about whatever happens in the home, stay in the marriage.
Will you say forgiveness is the secret?
Yes, forgiveness is the secret because both of us, we are not perfect.
Yeah.
We are imperfect individuals that came together. So we've had to forgive and forgive. Ah, I forgive you a whole lot. Ah, should that forgiveness? I forgive you a whole lot. So I believe that why marriages crash as well is lack of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Number one, lack of communication and you both agreeing. Yes, you disagree and disagree, but you still have to come to a common ground. But a lot of communication has to be involved. And when you notice, we also have to be sensitive when we notice a crack in our marriage. A lot of marriages that die 10 years later or 15 years later did not die that 15 years later. It has been dying about 15 years ago. But either party did not make amends to try to bridge that gap. Mm. Like, let everybody do their thing. And before you know, the love keeps dying. Like when I told you that I spotted that also in our marriage, I knew I needed to work on myself. I needed to ensure that I'm also an happy individual because you're always carrying a lot on your head. And imagine you're coming back to the home. I'm always sad. I've entered my mood swing. Of course, you want to come back to the house. You won't want to have a conversation with me because she's always moody. She's always moody. So nobody wants to come to a moody house.
Mm-hmm.
So I told myself that as well. And for the way to every man's heart is not food. Like they used to say, you are not a foodie.
I'm not.
So you are not a foodie. If you have your anything being served, you are okay. Even if you have fruit money till night, money afternoon night, you are okay. But just ensure that
there's peace.
There's peace in the house. There's no too much shouting as well.
Peace.
There's peace in the house. So for me, that was what helped my maturity.
Yeah, I think it's a lesson for a lot of women. The greatest need of a man in his home is peace. He's never going to be perfect, but he wants peace. You are never perfect as well, but
absolutely.
Peace. Mm. And this is a disclaimer. We are not married consultant or counselor.
Absolutely. I'm never one.
We just share stories. For me, it's just a gist. The reason I started this podcast is just wanted to have just with my loved ones and with people I look up to. And it's important to know that there's no game to... we're not perfect in our marriage. We're constantly working on it. We have our flaws. So very, very important to do that disclaimer because I see a tendency where people watch people on social media and they come out and say, oh, but they've been presenting this perfect couple and now we are disappointed. We heard this, we did this, or they are divorced or they are separated. Mm-hmm. I think everybody's marriage is different. There's no two same marriage.
Mm-hmm.
There's no two same templates.
Mm-hmm.
But people are free to share their stories and what works for them.
But I think you should actually have marriage counseling too. Maybe later in life because you are good at that actually. I know you can't do it now because you used to do a lot of counseling when we were in school, all those single ladies. And you see this relationship, it will not last. You tell the guy, the lady, the girl will not listen. And after a while, before you know it, happens. But I think you should. Then I want to add something as well. One of the things, nobody taught me this. I just picked it up myself. And I said to myself, because we as women by default, we give more honor to our pastors than we give to our spouse. I know my Bible very well. I don't know this part of my Bible that says your husband is a priest to your house, meaning he's like your pastor. So I said to myself, if I will kneel down to my pastor to greet him, if my husband is my priest, I should be able to do that. So if I cannot give my husband a certain level of respect, I'm sorry, I can't give it to my pastor. That is me. I'm not saying should. Use the same template. I just believe that if my husband is a priest over my home, and I respect a priest that is not in my home, that's just a spiritual head, more than my husband, then I think I'm not doing what I should do as a Christian. And I will have, and that's why a lot of women also have issues in their home. They have more, they see their spiritual leaders. And if their spiritual leaders call them now, they can almost be lying down to greet. Yet, when you see your husband, you ease. So what exactly? Doesn't make any sense. So you should be able to understand as women that your man is the head. Forget the equality we are all crying about. It's because of, for me, I see it as, I know they'll come after me for this, as low self-esteem. Because if you have a man that is, marry a man that is not, you are not, in short, if I'm more successful than you, you will announce it to the whole world. I mean in business. So you are not in any way
intimidated
by my success.
Yeah.
So there was a time I remember what I was making was paying the bills in the office when we had a little issue. You were even bragging about it. So that's why for women who are not married, ensure you marry somebody that is not, you marry someone that is very, very, very secure, not insecure about his tomorrow. And has low self-esteem, is very important, and sees your own wealth or your little success as a barrier to his own success. So for me, please honor your husband in as much as you're going to honor your priest.
Thank you. We could continue, but we have to stop. Thank you for coming. First time in 12 years. We should do this more. But for me, I've been reluctant doing it because I just didn't want to create the impression of we're a marriage consultant or marriage counselor or anything. And I'm very authentic. We're not perfect. So I see that sometimes you unconsciously create that perception where people then build their entire life around you. When even you are learning every day.
Absolutely.
And figuring it out every day. But thank you for coming. I appreciate
you.
Thank you for putting up with me.
Thank you.
This 12
for years. Managing me as well, my excesses. And I used to say, and I need to say, people see me as the nicer person. Like I'm in terms of being nice, I'm more nice than you are. But people don't know that. My husband is, I tell people, my husband is, he can just be like, but is the nicer part. I mean, is the nicest amongst the two of us, or is it the nicer? Don't abuse me about the English I studied now in school. So, but you're actually nicer than me. Being nice is not about humility. People mistake that. I actually give it up. You have a higher forgiving spirit than I do. Don't offend me. If you offend me, but I might not just talk, but my husband is really an amazing person. So don't say that, oh, because she's looking quiet, she's... No, it's not by that. I know him, I know me better. So I know who is very nice.
But thank you for who you are. Thank you for all you do.
So thank you also for putting up with me.
Thank you for all you do for the family. Really grateful. I've come this far by the help of God and by your maturity. And love. Thank you.
Hurry up, eh? Please send my account details. Thank you.
For what again?
For this thank you now. Let's follow something now.
Well, that's the end of a beautiful
thank you.
Episode
you.
Of Billionaire Habit Podcast. The lesson here is that you have to manage the stakeholders in your in your life, be it your spouse, your associates, your family members, to really build wealth. If you're going to be a billionaire or build wealth, you have to manage your stakeholders.
Absolutely.
It is very expensive, you know, to have crisis internally. It doesn't help to grow wealth. Peace is one of the secrets for wealth creation. We love you. Bye-bye.